Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
G League, where they will pay an elite guy a bigger amount of money, not
right.
exactly first-round money, to have that carryover year.
But it's the same thing, in my opinion, as far as a Zion Williamson goes, because why would he want to take that big, quote-unquote, G League contract, even if he can make massive endorsements where he should be able to go to the highest level and ply his trade? Name me another business where you are prevented from going into that field because of your age. Outside of the U.S. presidency, I don't know if you could find one.
I think college is even – I think the reason why I like college even more, that they go dibs and do that 1 year. If what he's saying, go to where's the exposure? Where are you going to get – you go last night, you go look at any G League ratings. They weren't going to go close to Duke. Duke is still a brand. These guys, if you're going to do a one and done, I think it's great that you go to college for 1 year, because the university itself is still giving you the exposure you need on the national level. Scouts get to see you, all those different things. If you were freaking planning what gyms, you know, are offering up to say, hey, I just want to go to a training facility, it's still a difference. When they get to see you against other elite athletes in college, it's better for your brand. It's good for the university.
So you're saying if Zion's healthy, play in the tournament.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying right
now. That's what
now,
I'm saying. If he's healthy, saying, play in the tournament. Better for your brand.
He's already done. His brand's done, Coach. Coach, you're saying, what can he do? Coach, this is not a situation. Now, if Zion, his first weekend, and he only played four games, and all of a sudden this happened, absolutely Zion's going to probably pop back and play, because he's going to have more time, dibs, to get healthy. You're asking the guy on 3 weeks and 3.5 weeks for to get be ready for a tournament. So he's going to be out. He's not going to do any exercises this week. You got to let the knee heal first. It's spring knee.
I'm on your side.
So
on
you're
this
talking
argument.
About a week or 2 weeks for and then you're
side.
Getting back out there. Now you want him to jump into a tournament? That's foolish. So yeah, he's going to be healthy, but he's not going to be 100%. Why go out there and risk injury? I just don't understand, Jim, why you're trying to rush this guy back when the tournament's in three weeks.
I don't think we're assuming that we're rushing him back. We're assuming that he is healthy enough to play when the tournament starts 4 days, or 4 weeks, rather, from today. We're assuming he's going to be healthy and that you're not rushing him back because, as Jim mentioned, you've got three lottery picks on that team, maybe four. You're likely going to be fine as a team, especially in the early rounds of the tournament, without Zion Williamson. I think the greater question, the bigger question is, can you do away with the one-and-done rule? What you say, Lowe, is accurate. Duke's brand and a player has a chance to go for a year and prove that he's ready, but you shouldn't be forced into that. You mentioned the kid from the Fresno area, Jalen Green, who's a junior. If he has a great senior year and he continues to be one of the most highly touted players in the country, he should have, in my opinion, the freedom to move about the country, as we borrow from Southwest Airlines. He shouldn't have to go to college, knowing full well that he's not there to get his degree, that he's just there for 1 year so he can then qualify for the NBA. To me, that demeans the NCAA, and it prevents the player from doing what he should be able to do.
The only thing that I like about that 1 year, Dibs, is at least they get a year of trying to find out where they want to do and see what college life's about. Jalen Green wants to be a veterinarian. Very smart kid. San Joaquin Memorial is a very affluent school.
It's farm animals or pets?
Pets.
Okay.
Yeah, so... smart guy, smart young man. He enjoys that. So I think that I think it's great sometimes. So if you do have that 1 year, at least you do have 1 year seeing what the college experience is like. And I think Zion's going to cherish that 1 year. But I think this guy is one and done. And I think Dibs is onto something. I don't know if it's going to change, though. I don't think it helps them, though, to just be – I don't think it helps them to come straight out of college, out of high school. I think that 1 year to build their brand even more, I think it leads. I think it helps them.
To me, it just depends on the player, and this is a player in particular who I don't think his brand is getting enhanced at all because he was so highly touted out of high school.
I think that if you go to college, you should go until you get a diploma. You don't get a chance to leave early.
So if you decide to go, you got to stay and get your degree.
Yep.
That is a little too restrictive for me.
You mean it's restrictive to get the one most important thing we can all have to better our future? A diploma from a secondary school, from a university? Isn't that what we're being taught? You have to get a college education
to succeed
in life, right? Isn't that what we're told? I mean, the system has told us that.
I do understand, and I think that you do. I do believe
the industrial education system that rips us off, but go ahead.
I do believe that education is a key to success, and I think education is knowledge.
Okay.
We understand all those things, but what is the end result? Why are you going to school to get a what? A better what? Better job?
Yeah.
Better what? To lead to better
life?
Finances?
Sure.
But better life because of why? Because I got better finances. You got better...
Better opportunity.
Opportunity to succeed in life, to have a family, doing those things. Because if you don't have a diploma and you just got a job at a high school, you can't... You're disqualified from making a lot of money because of the fact a certain job is... You're not... Because you don't have a degree.
That's what the industrial educational complex wants you to think. It's not true, but that's what they want you to think.
Unless you get a trade. Unless you go...
Exactly. You go to trade school. Those guys who are going... Those guys at trade school right now are laughing.
Like
they make so much money.
You're getting a contractor or doing those things. Understand. Are you in a stock market? Get those things. But if you... At the end of the day, though, it's about putting yourself in a better financial position. So if Zion and these guys are out there and they're able to play, go to college and do that for a year, when you sit here and say, now I'm going to stop them, when they're going out and making more than the average person, the average 10, 15 people a contractor's making, so it doesn't behoove them necessarily to get that degree. Yes, I didn't necessarily graduate from college. I came back and got my degree. My son's getting his degree, but I think that you got to look at this as totally different for you to say that give them the whole 4 years. I just think that's...
I agree with you, Lo. I think it's too restrictive. One thing about the stock market, you mentioned being a stock broker. This also from Darren Rovell, as we lift from him liberally this morning.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Nike stock down about 1% in the first 10 minutes of trading, an on-paper loss of $1.12 billion, with a B, in its market cap. So if you think that they're going to be able to pony up $300 million for Zion, they're going to have to dig deeper into their coffers. Coming up, we're going to talk Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. We're going to look at the key storylines for the Warriors' second half. Get Jim's thoughts as a Sacramento Kings pre- and post-host. We'll get a Kings-Warriors preview. But first, we go to Anna Kagarakis to find out what the blank is going on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Cole World, we know this. Southside. Great performance, by the way, I thought, at the NBA All-Star Game from J. Cole.
Yeah, he put it down.
Came out and rocked it hard. It's Joe Low and Dibs. Dibs is here. Low is here. Joe is off for a long weekend.
Who's joining us?
Well, I'm running the show today, kids.
But who's supposed to join us?
I believe Jim Cozumore, but... Coz is pulling a low right now.
Was that needed? Take a picture and show where this guy's missing. Anyways.
Welcome to the Money Spot. It's brought to you by Cash Creek Casino. It's Cash Creek's Year of Fortune. Someone will win $8,888 at 6 and 9 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday. Visit cashcreek.com. It's the Money Spot. We're talking Warriors as we get set for the final 25 games of the regular season. Golden State with a three-game cushion as the top seed in the Western Conference. And gentlemen, when you have a team that's this good as the Warriors, it's tough sometimes to find angles, not only for us locally, but for the national audience as well, which is why one of the stories that came out of the All-Star weekend was Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and their private conversation that is no longer private. Apparently, after Kevin Durant won the MVP, Kyrie Irving stuck around so he could share some words with Kevin Durant. Do we have the audio of Kyrie Irving from just this week? Here's Kyrie Irving talking about everyone's reaction of he and KD having a chat.
That's where we start the conversation. What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, none of anybody's, not anybody's business, right? So it's a video of me and one of my best friends talking. And then it turns out to be a dissection of a free agency meeting. You get that? Like, do you get that? And then I'm asking questions about it. Like, that's what disconnects me from all that. like, because I have no connection to that. Like, over a video, I'm asking questions about the fans. You brought up the fans? Come on, man.
Kyrie obviously upset Lowe about people speculating that eventually, as soon as next year, Kyrie and KD could join forces, maybe in New York. They've got the two max spots. What do you make of all this, Lowe? Should we leave these guys alone, or is speculation fair game?
Leave these guys alone. I mean, you think about what's going on in Kyrie. You got to understand where he's coming from, though. You know, it's a situation. It's a situation. You see these guys sitting. He said it's one of his best friends. They're having a conversation. Who cares? And everyone, all we want to do is speculate. Oh, they're meeting now. Here they go. You heard the other day. Shoot, because Giannis and Steph's talking, and now it's speculation, and they're going to hook up. I mean, it's just every time someone has a conversation, they go to the bathroom, it's like, what are they talking about? What are they doing? We just sit here and we create these demons, and we create these narratives, and we create these stories. And what does he have to say? So he's supposed to Kyrie because he stayed and talked to KD. Now we're supposed to let him know. He's supposed to say what he was saying. Yeah, if they hook up, and who cares? But why has everyone got to sit there and say, what'd you guys say? Oh, this means this. No, it doesn't mean anything. They had a conversation.
I completely agree that it's stupid to do that. But don't for a minute point the lens at me to say I'm the bad guy. The reason the NBA is popular is because of speculation. These guys feed off it. They're the worst, and by that I mean the best, at social media and stirring the pot and saying stuff stupid.
Fans don't like this.
What do you mean?
We had so many fans come up.
Fans love us saying Kyrie and KD and the Knicks.
No, they don't. There's so many people. We did this yesterday. We went to the text line and we had people call in. And there was some unbelievable calls saying that we forced this down.
Don't pander. Don't pander.
No.
To the audience.
Hit the text line. And tomorrow hit the beef line, 9595. And let Coase know that we create these narratives. These guys, a lot of them just want to play ball. And they're like, okay, after the season, I'll make a decision. But quit trying to put me in a box and say, oh, this is what we're doing. What did him do? They went to dinner and said, yeah, we're signing these things. They could call each other on the phone.
You don't think that
they have each other's cell number? So he had a conversation, say congratulations or whatever. All of a sudden, there's speculation that these two in New York. It's foolish by us.
It's stupid to see two guys talking in a hallway. One guy raises a hand with two fingers on it, and then other people start to speculate. It is stupid, but it's what makes the league popular.
Right.
Come on.
And ultimately, that to me is what you have to come back to, Lowe, is as much as it is foolish, everyone wants to be an amateur lip reader now and see what did KD say? What is Kyrie saying? You remember the Draymond Green KD argument against the Clippers, and KD comes out and says, that's why I'm out of here. Or maybe he said, that's why I'm out here. All of the amateur
that
lip readers.
That was the greatest week of
that
radio.
That was a great one.
Oh, that was phenomenal. We did a week on that on this station.
And you don't know what he said. Only he knows what he said and what did he mean. And now you got Kyrie and KD, and Kyrie's taking offense. I take offense at the players taking offense because of what Jim says. This is what is fueling your league to be the second most popular league in the United States of America.
Let me ask you something.
Ask me something.
Have you ever told someone that you hate them? Have you ever said, I mean, how many times have you? How many times
you all know her.
Love the hurricane.
Not Curry.
You don't like, you hate Curry?
How many Love times Curry. Have you told it's a misplay.
How many times, Lo, get out of here. I can't stand you. Whatever. But we say things in the heat of the moment or, you know, sometimes you say different things and I'm like, wow, Dibs, you kind of cut that, you know, and you say certain things, and this is probably not right.
Yeah, that was off the air.
It was off air, and you'd probably be in trouble.
I might have wanted to have that one back, but I digest.
It's
neither here nor there, thankfully.
How many times, Jim, have you said something, and you might say at the spare moment, I ought to slap you, tell your kid.
So you just shut your yapper.
Right.
Exactly.
And we do these things, and all of a sudden, is it etched in stone that this is how we feel, and this is what we mean? For us, how dare us as the media sit there, and if guys change their mind, how dare us? We say these things, we're no different, because they're human and we're human. We do and say things that we shouldn't say, and then
Correct.
We retract, and all of a sudden we change our mind.
Actually, no accountability on our end.
Exactly. We wildly speculate, and there's no accountability to it. It's fake news.
It's what they do is entertainment, and what I am is being entertained by it, and I feel connected to it by saying, ooh, I was the first guy I'm claiming, first guy to say, I think KD's going to leave the Warriors at the end of
whoa,
the season.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Exactly.
I got to take offense at that because this guy's been driving the KD's going away train long before you made the step up to this very radio station.
Yeah, you were, yeah. Before he, I would say he's coming, and I was saying when he was going.
You might be in the first pew and on the aisle, but no. Lowe came to the first mass of the day, which was the 6 a.m. mass that no one goes to except the old ladies.
Let me just say,
shout out that first mass of the day.
First mass is always the quickest.
Yes.
By the way, at times I'm seen at the. It's at our church at 7:30, and I'm there.
Are you?
Yeah, with the blue hairs. Sometimes I'm a Eucharistic minister. I might add.
Look at you.
Are you?
I know.
Plenty of room toward the back.
Exactly.
I can totally. You got that little look. There.
Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Bang, baby.
Keep it moving, if you wouldn't mind. Keep it moving. You don't linger in the air. Let's just. If it's hand, it's hand. If it's mouth, it's mouth. Let's keep it moving as we talk Eucharist here on 95.7 of the Game.
I was working a scrub Saturday. It might have been a scrub Sunday show with Herbs. It was Herbs and I who are going to be together this weekend, I might add.
Tease it.
Yes.
And I said,
what?
I was the first guy who said, listen, I think there's a chance, KD, and then Herbs pushed me in, and I said, yeah, I think he's gone. I think he's gone. I was the first guy, and I got laughed at. People said, that's stupid. Now you're just making stuff up.
Hit the text line and ask him who said it first.
Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795.
But that's not even close. What the NBA is the best at.
Agreed.
Okay?
Agreed.
That's why it's a 10-month sport, because we're doing it all the way through into August, September, we're done now. October, boom, we're back at it.
I think it's even more close to an 11-month sport now.
Right.
Shout out Summer League, as we found out this year. We went to Summer League down in Las Vegas, and there's 10,000 fans there for Warrior games and Laker games. Summer League's become a huge thing. So the NBA now stretching out toward almost a full year, and low, it's partly because of these dramas.
It is, and I understand that. We as the media has to, you know, get the clicks and get the likes and say things that, you know, a shot that's heard around the world, because we can come out with these outlandish takes, and sometimes it sticks and sometimes it doesn't. And you know, for good reason. For good reason, there's a reason why we're saying Kyrie and KD might end up together. And I understand these guys get disappointed because they want to control their narratives. They feel like, oh, my God, so you know me. And even though it's maybe an obvious fit, I think it's just disappointing, because I think that these guys, they can't control it. They can control it on the court, but these are rare times as superstars and as elite players. They can go out, you're talking junk, I can go drop 40 on you, maybe even 50 on a great night. I can go do that. I can control what you do and how you talk to me. I can handle that on the court. But now you're in a situation where they see where these people are, they see what's going on, and now all of a sudden they can't control these narratives, and now people catch them talking and anything that happened, and these guys, they're like, oh, my God, I'm talking to them, and people, what they're going to say. You have to watch what you say. You have to watch what you do, because the media can take it and run.
When you were a kid, before you knew you were going to be a pro football player, who was your favorite team? Did you have a favorite team?
Yeah, the San Diego Chargers. I loved it when it was Chuck Muncy, Kellen Winslow, Charlie Joyner, Dan Fouts. Loved that team.
And wouldn't you always think about, oh, man, if we only had this guy, we'd be better. If we only had that guy, we'd be better. You were a fan. And that's all we're doing.
That's why I wanted to go play for San Diego, and I went there to make them better.
Exactly. There you go. You won that. Drop the mic.
Boom.
Boom.
Up in 2 minutes, we're going to run down our second half, quote-unquote, storylines for the Golden State Warriors. Lo, you had a tease for us during the break.
Why I was making a point. I was in the middle of a point.
Please go.
Go ahead.
Tell us your tease. We'll get to it at 7:45. We'll wrap up whatever Jim was doing right there, and then we'll get to our second half storylines. Lo, you got a tease for us, and I need to hear it.
Zion and Nike are just going to do something that's so incredible that everyone in the world would want to see and watch. Can't wait to tell you that.
That's impressive. And we do have a statement now from Nike. Anna, do you have that statement? And
this, do we have a breaking news sounder for this?
No, Jim, I'll handle the sounders from here on out. You're in the C-chair today. We're talking, obviously, about the Zion Williams incident.
Wow.
He tore through his Nikes. He hurt his knee. And now Nike, Anna, has released a statement on the issue.
Yeah, so they said, we are obviously concerned and want to wish Zion a speedy recovery. The quality and performance of our products are at the utmost importance. While this is an isolated occurrence, we are working to identify the issue.
So there you have it. So Nike is stepping up to have Zion's back. And at 7:45, we get Lowe to pay off his tease, because Lowe's got a fascinating angle on all of this. Jim?
After hearing that, I'm going to sidestep my brilliant point from the other thing talking about. Now, if I read that, if I'm Zion's people, I'm suing Nike. I'm suing Nike right now. We're trying to identify what the problem is. Hey, you might have ruined my $100 million career with your crappy kicks. I'm forced to wear them because Duke has a deal with you. I don't want to wear your stupid shoes. I'm suing Nike. Boom! Dropped the mic. Boom!
Boom!
I picked it up and dropped it again.
Boom!
Double that up on you.
Now I want to hear. You got me fired up before we interrupt you. What were you going to say earlier?
We were talking about how...
It doesn't seem so passionate about that.
I know. That's what happened to me on my teeth. That's what happened to my teeth. I had something great out there when I was going to... And then I was like...
And then you choked. You seized up on me.
I'm like, whoa.
I put you on the spot.
About the NBA players. Right. Hey, players, keep it to yourselves that you're unhappy that we're talking about you. Every kid growing up in the tri-state area who's a Nick wannabe fan for their entire lives have been saying, imagine if we only had. Imagine if... That's all this is. It's what those guys did when they were kids and they rooted for their favorite team. So don't tell me that this is ruined. You don't owe me anything, but don't get mad at me because I'm speculating what you're going
Players
to do.
Players would just say, and they have said, just enjoy the game. As I go, Jeff Kent, just enjoy the game where we are. And that's where we're going to shift our focus, gentlemen. It's 7:30. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs. Dibs is in. Lowe is in. Coase is in for Joe Fortenbaugh, who's enjoying some great
load
vacation. 8:30, we got Sam Amick is going to join us. Anthony Slater at 9:10. Former King and friend of Cozumel and friend of everyone, Bobby Jackson at 9:30. But gentlemen, let's run down some second half storyline, shall we? Bring it up, Wes. We're running with the twos today. Go Slick Rick the Ruler.
This is...
Uncle Ricky! Can you tell us a bedtime story?
I love that.
It's a great story rap, by the way, as we talk rap here with Uncle Coase. But storylines, gentlemen.
Okay.
Storylines of the second half. First and foremost, and we're going to go to Steve Kerr on Boogie Cousins here, so maybe we can crossfade the audio so we can hear the head coach. Storyline
kind of buzz.
Number one. Let's get storyline number one in.
I don't think we'll change the plan too much in terms of how we're going to play him and in the rotations and all that. But once we get back into the rhythm, we can absolutely play him for longer stretches, play him down the stretch if we'd like. We have more options, and Rick is not going to be concerned with the minutes.
Talking about the athletic training staff not being concerned with the minutes, Lowe, he's averaging 24, 25 minutes a game, but he's primed for more playing time. Is DeMarcus Cousins ready for more time, or should they keep limiting it and hope his productivity stays high?
I think it's going to be how Coach Kerr feels in watching him, playing him extra minutes, and then at times they're going to pull him back. One night he might play 29, the next night he might play 30, then he might go back to 23. They're going to be watching this guy and watch how he moves, how active he is, and then I think it's going to be on that gut feeling where the head coach is going to implement how many minutes Boogie Cousins plays.
Cozy's been off 9 days by the time he takes the floor tonight at Sacramento. Increase the minutes or wait for more productivity in those minutes first?
This is a trickier one because Boogie has an emotional attachment to the team he's playing tonight. This is where his entire NBA career was defined. It's unfortunate, but it was, and a lot of that definition wasn't very positive. The last time he was in the same circumstance, he was wearing a Pelicans uniform going up against the Kings, and he dropped a double nickel on him, and he threatened his own team playfully about beating the Kings. This is tricky. If Steve Kerr is talking about adding minutes to the guy, tonight's game isn't where I want them to add the minutes. Tonight's the kind of game where Boogie might get out over his skis a little bit. I want the 25 games to define when he starts to add minutes to him. I don't want to look at it tonight. I'd be stunned if he goes over... Well, I'd be stunned if he goes over 25 tonight.
Even though it's a homecoming game back to his time in Sacramento.
That's the scariest part about it because he's so emotionally attached to this organization, good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, because like I've said this 100 times on this station, there are fans in Sacramento who will punch you in the throat if you say something bad about them, and there are fans who have given up their season tickets because they kept them too long. That's how different the feelings are about one guy.
By the way, I'd rather take a punch to the nose than a punch to the throat.
Punch to the throat could end it for you.
Yeah, face punches goes. Give me eye, give me nose, definitely above throat. Steve Kerr talked yesterday at his session about Boogie Cousins' play so far. Let's hear from him.
Number two.
I thought the last few games he just looked a little tired, which is to be expected. You know, we were a good month into his recovery, or into his return, I should say. First few weeks, he shot the ball a lot better than he did the last few games. So I thought he maybe looked a little fatigued. And so I'm hoping the break helps him out and that he's able to come back and start shooting the ball a little bit better. I'm sure he will. I mean, that's what his track record suggests.
Low storyline number two for the, quote, second half of the Warriors season with 25 games left to go is the idea of rest. How do you keep this team fresh, and how does that pertain to DeMarcus Cousins and his minutes?
I think Kerr hit it right on the head. He said he looked a little slow, didn't look a little lethargic at times, and he's right. You saw Boogie kind of struggle coming down the stretch. Got those 8 days rest. Now it's a situation. How do you implement this guy? Maybe you say, you know what? The first night, Boogie, we're going to have even play less minutes. And I don't think this guy's going to play 30 minutes tonight against Sacramento. I don't think they're going to increase the minutes. I think this is that night you play the guy 20 minutes or less. And now you say, okay, the next time, maybe you get him out there 25. Then you get to that 30, and then you come back down to 20 again. You start to find your rhythm for Boogie Cousins. And then he knows what to expect. And then once you start to see him do that, then you say, come on, big fella, let's eat.
Jim, rest for other players for the Golden State Warriors. At what point do you start to give KD some time? He's played in every game. Klay Thompson's only missed one game. When do you start injecting our new favorite phrase, load management, into the proceedings?
I respected LeBron James more last year when he played every game. This year he got hurt. I get it. But I respect guys for playing every game. Kevin Durant understands that people around the NBA world buy tickets to see number 35, and he comes out and plays. I want him to play every game. If you've got to watch his minutes, fine, play every game. Same thing for Klay Thompson. I'm not too worried about him being too tired once you get to the second season and the season that really matters. So I don't want any full-on load management. I don't want any guys sitting out games. If they do, I want it to be at Oracle Arena. I don't want it to be on the road.
I like load management, Dibs. I think it's needed.
I thought you might.
I think it's needed. I think when you look at certain guys, you look at over 30, 29, 30, at times your legs are dead, and at times you need to rest guys. I think it behooves the coach and the organization and the training staff to watch guys and see where they're at, and you can watch them and see if they need that rest. I don't care. You give these guys rest. I don't care if it's on the road, it's at home. At times, if your guys need it, you need that, because then it can linger. And also, you're the one who, Jim, talked about guys getting out there and they look fatigued. And when they do that, usually there's injuries more times than not. Injuries do occur when guys are tired and fatigued. So I think that Steve Kerr has to manage the load management.
We're running down the five storylines for the Warriors' second half. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs. Co's in for Joe Fortenbaugh. Let's hit the next one.
Number three,
gentlemen, we're talking about defense. Does defense still win championships? Draymond Green talked about what he expects from his defense here over the final 25 games.
Everything on defense for us over the course of the last 3, 4, 5 years it's just been second nature. We have been playing together. So, you know, you can kind of switch and the other guy would just know to switch. I think we've added so many pieces this year that it's not second nature, that you have to communicate a bit more. You know, we weren't necessarily great at that. So, you know, we got to improve up on that.
He's talking about switching, Jim Cosimore. Switching hasn't been there. The continuity hasn't been there. And the metrics will show it. The first year of the championship run, they were first in defensive rating. Then they went to sixth in the year where they won 73 games but did not win a title. First year of Kevin Durant, second in the league in defensive rating. But since then, 11th last year in a championship run and 15th this year. What do you see from this Warriors defense that needs to improve?
Is it laziness? Is it other teams have figured them out? Is it the fact that they've played a full NBA season of playoff games in their current run of championships because they've had to work their bodies so much more? I think it's the fact this year that they haven't been together. Someone seems to be out at all times. We've been without Draymond for a while, for Steph for a while. You know, Klay has been consistent and KD has been consistent, but the other guys on the floor haven't been the same. Now with 25 games to go, your stretch run of the regular season, I think the defense solidifies I've got no problems with what they're going to do. Are they going to be in the top five? No. But are they going to improve on their defensive number? I believe so, because everyone's going to be back. And I agree with what Draymond said at the beginning of that, which is it's kind of second nature when we're all together on the floor.
And he means that. When you see Draymond and you hear what he's talking about, saying, hey, it's been a second nature to us that we understand who to switch. We don't have to say, we say switch and guys automatically roll to where they need to switch at. And he goes, now you got to talk more and make sure guys look back and make sure guys are in the right position. Now, when you say switch, now you got to look back and see if that guy's in the right position. And lo and behold, someone's cutting to the basket, giving up an easy two. Well, lo and behold, when you say switch and then you look another way, all of a sudden there's a lob going over your head because of the fact the team isn't in sync and in continuity. So Draymond is absolutely right. And Draymond missed some games too with that toe, giving him some rest. So now you're starting to see this team say, let's get this thing fixed. Let's get our defense fixed, because the better defense we play, that usually leads to better offense, because we're going to get some steals. We're going to be able to run a lot better. We're going to have teams in a disadvantage. So I really believe this defense has to improve if they want to get to where they want to go. And I think they're going to end up in the top 10 in defense by the end of the year.
Top 10 would be something I think that's achieved. Top five, I'm not sure if they're going to be there. I think it's partly lack of rim protection. You've mentioned JaVale McGee. Kevon Looney doesn't provide the same rim protection. Damian Jones being out with the pec, although he's hoping to come back sometime in May, assuming the Warriors are still going at that point. So hopefully the defense can improve from there. Five things we are watching in the second half for the Warriors. Let's move on, Wes. We're running with the twos.
Number four,
and we're talking about the second unit, gentlemen. This from Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area. He talks about how Kerr has been tinkering and adjusting his rotations with DeMarcus Cousins now in the fold. Sean Livingston's going to get rest. Andre Iguodala's been incredible this year. What do you make of the second unit, Jim, especially as it matches up with some of those Eastern Conference teams who are now deeper than ever, particularly Toronto?
Well, that's a good question. I know the East is a lot deeper. I know through the course of 82 games, we got to worry about the Jordan Bells of the world.
Mm.
But once we get to April, and more importantly, May, then June, I think those guys become really great caddies, and they have a great seat for watching the real Warriors go out and win championships. I think you win with your top eight guys, and the Warriors have a top eight. I'm not worried about the secondary unit and what they have to do. They just have to help this team get across the finish line with the one seed. I'd like to see him get the one seed. I have no concern nor interest in worrying about the Warriors' second unit, Mo. None whatsoever.
Well, I think that you have to have some concerns, and I think the guys that have to play big in the second unit, we understand it's got to be Kevon Looney's got to play well. Alfonso McKinney, you understand he's going to have limited minutes, but he is going to play. So these are guys that you need to play well, and you also need Sean Livingston. Livingston this year hasn't really been as solid as he usually been. Been getting a lot of rest. I really believe that this is going to be his last year when you think about Livingston. So he's going to have to play better and play better minutes. You need him to be out there and do well. So Livingston, Alfonso, definitely Looney, and another guy that I think is going to have to continue to play well when he's in there is Jarepko. And, you know, he's got a guy that you want him to play well, and at times the spot player, Damian Lee. So you think about
how deep do you think they'll go once you get to the playoffs? How deep?
Without a doubt, Alfonso McKinney's going to play. The guy has shown you that he can play, shown that he can do a lot of things. You know Looney's going to play. Looney, he can hit the three. Alfonso McKinney will be on the ride because he also plays good defense. He's long. He's a stretch guy. He can play good defense. They like his athletic ability. Without a doubt, McKinney will be playing in the playoffs. You know Sean will and Looney. Those are the three guys I think that's going to be important along with Jepko.
We're running down the five things to watch here for the Warriors, quote, second half with 25 games to go. Let's get to number five here.
Number five.
Thank you, Sonny. And I was torn on which direction to go here between the 15th roster spot question, which I think is somewhat played out, and to Jim's point, they probably don't go that deep in the playoffs anyway. But let's talk about some chatter. Not Little League chatter with, hey, bada, bada.
Hey, bada, bada, swing.
Swing, bada. Thank you for the Ferris Bueller reference right there. But the chatter, the KD Kyrie chatter, we talked about it a few moments ago. Does this distraction continue to be a burr in the Warriors' saddle, though?
No, I think
a bee in their bonnet.
Yeah, it's
a thorn in their side.
Evidently, everyone thinks it will. I think the only people that are making it a thorn in their side and a bee in their bonnet and making things happen, I really believe, is the media. When you think about,
AKA Jim Cozymore,
absolutely, Jimmy Cozymore is making this a thorn in their side.
Old Coz.
And you have to realize this team understands what the noise and everything is. Everyone's out there talking. We see Kyrie and KD in the side hustle and got something going on. And everyone want to assume it's about teaming up. Hey, I think KD wants to win another title. KD understands what's at stake. He's focused. He's determined. You see the way the guy's been playing. His heart is in San Francisco. It's not in New York. It's nowhere else. KD's heart is in San Francisco. I don't think this chatter affects him at all. I think this chatter drives KD. KD wants to leave here with the championship. If he's going to leave right now, he's got unfinished business, and you see the way how focused he
is. Jim, you and your brothers and sisters in the third estate, might be the fourth estate. I'm losing track of these estates these days.
One of them.
There's the fourth wall in movies, and then the fifth estate. I think that's the way we go. Are you and your brothers and sisters in the media distracting this Warrior team? Will you, or are you guys a non-factor?
I don't think we're distracting them. I think they do a good enough job of distracting themselves internally. Can we go back to last year when we heard both Sean Livingston and the great David West, I believe, say that there were things that or was it Andre Iguodala who said there were things we were dealing with that you guys don't even know
David
about?
West.
David West said that.
Mr. West.
And so did Sean Livingston. He even said the same thing. And I know they tried to gloss over on that. I think they have enough internal issues going on. And we can point to what happened in the game against the L.A. Clippers between Draymond and KD. But I also think that they know how to channel that on the floor. And that I think that they're going to win championships. Their anger is fake anger towards us talking about it more than anything else. I think KD going off is fake anger. I think Kyrie going off is fake anger. So I think the Warriors internally don't have to worry about it. I think they channel their anger towards being better on the floor. And I do think that in the end, even if Draymond thinks KD's making it all about himself and he's making this free agency thing drive a stake through everybody, I think once they're on the floor, they all have the same goal, and that's to win a championship. And I'll finish just by saying, I want a pitcher.
Not a belly itcher. Way to bring that home. That deserves a little something. That was impressive.
Nice.
Cozy brought that home. Very nice. Those were five things to watch for as we get ready for the, quote, second half. And, Jim, just real quick, I'll give you a minute to rant on this. Can we move the All-Star break at least a little bit closer to halfway through the season?
Yes.
I know we wanted to move the season up so we could stretch it out, and they don't have to play 4 and 5 nights. But to have the All-Star game after 57 of 82, it seems woefully out of place to me.
I agree with that, but they're going to argue, you know what, we want everybody well-rested for the stretch run, because now they know, you know, there are a couple of different false starts in the NBA. There's opening night false start, then we don't pay attention until Christmas Day, then that's another start for the league. Then we start to pay attention around trade deadline time again, and then we start to pay attention after the All-Star break. So they have a bunch of false starts along the way. I would like to see them move the game up for move it up 2 weeks, and have us maybe have a few more games the rest of the season. But their argument is, let's get everyone healthy, give them one good final rest before they come back for the stretch drive, and the teams that are able to win a championship are going to be healthy.
Makes some sense. For me, it would be perfect right in the week before the Super Bowl. Get the Pro Bowl back where it belongs. You move the Pro Bowl back after the Super Bowl. You put the NBA All-Star game the weekend in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. That way it fits a little bit better, in my opinion. It's Jolo and Dibs, Cozymore in for Joe. Coming up at 8:30, we'll talk to Sam Amick. Get his thoughts on the Warriors heading into the second half and also tonight's matchup with the Sacramento Kings. But, gentlemen, we have to get to the big headline story, not only across the U.S., but it does have some interesting Bay Area ramifications as it pertains to endorsements. Because last night it was Zion, it was Duke, it was Nike, and it was a disaster for all three.
Usually that's the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe.
Thanks to ESPN for the audio. Zion Williamson leaves the game in the first minute. Duke goes on to get motorboated by North Carolina. But Lowe, who do you think comes out of this in the worst shape? Is it Nike who had their shoe get ripped apart on national TV in the biggest college basketball game of the year? Is it Duke who might miss out on their star attraction for the NCAA tournament? He's got a sprained knee. We don't know if he will decide to return and play for Duke or not. Or is it Zion himself who may have gotten the first real injury scare of his young basketball career?
It's Duke. It's Duke in a landslide because now you have a young man that's not even going to play in the tourney.
Well, we don't know that. It's unknown yet. It hasn't been decided officially.
I know that.
Oh, you made the call.
Yes, lock that's it right. up. Lock okay. it up. Thank you. I think that you have a young man that probably won't play in the tournament, and I think that that's a huge blow for Duke. It hurts their chances to win a title. You saw it last night. They struggled without Zion. So I think the Duke is the biggest loser. I think with Nike is going to get so much attention. You said it's down 1%. It goes to show you that here's a college kid that has that type of sphere on a brand that's been around for years. I think you look at Zion, here's a guy now, I think he's got the tiger by the tail. I think he's got Nike where he wants him. And how are they going to fix this thing right now? I'll tell you right now, if you build it, they will come. And I'm telling you, if I'm Nike, here's my campaign. Big time last night. You saw the situation. Zion blows out of his shoe. His shoe was not tough enough to hold him. You know what we're going to do? We got to build it. We got to build it stronger. We got to build it tougher. And that's what we're aiming to do. We have more than the $6 million man here. We have a guy that's a hundreds of million dollar man. We want to build this shoe to be able to protect him. I play this music. I build the shoe. Have Zion falling on the court, showing the blowout with the shoe. And now you have this music and showing Zion's shoe being created by this shoe company, Nike. I'm telling you right now, it would be off the Richter. They have a chance right now to build a shoe for Zion.
That's really well done. I was skeptical at first, I'll be honest. If only we were broadcasting this on a television medium, you could have seen the eyebrows go up and the jaw drop to the floor. And I know you were with me on that top rope.
I looked at you right away. You're like, wait, what is this now?
Did you?
It was great.
You and Jimmy.
Everyone's producing bits on this.
It's a big show for me, too, in the big chair. I felt like you were hijacking me there.
Jimmy, you know who that was. You know that music, boys. You guys know who that was.
But, Lo, you're close, but no cigar on that because it's really the $600 million man. Because you look at Kevin Durant and the shoe deal he signed. His extension was worth as much as $300 million. So you look at this talent. Everyone's using the G word. He's a generational talent, Zion Williamson, and yet he blows through his Nike shoe. So whatever company he decides to ultimately sign with, that deal might be worth $500 million, Jim.
That's why you buy Nike now. I'm telling you, it's going down. He's going to sign with Nike. They're going to overpay this guy. They're going to have a campaign where they're building that shoe for him, and they actually show the blowout. Think about that. And then them create a shoe for Zion? Oh, my God.
Nike down 1.6%, by the way, on early trading. Traffic and weather coming up in the eights, Jim.
Just a little side stuff for a second. This is just like when Nike signed Colin Kaepernick to a deal and they lost $3 billion in market cap the next day. I was on the phone to the broker saying, buy Nike. That's called a blip in the market. That's called a buying opportunity. This is a buying opportunity for any of you. And all these are, you make your own decisions. This is a buying opportunity. Lo, your commercial idea is great, except Nike isn't going to be the one who makes the shoe. If I'm Puma, Adidas, New Balance,
Anta,
if I'm Starberries, Anta,
Under Armour,
Leaning, Under Armour,
Fila,
I'm showing every single thing that you just said, and then I say, we're making the shoe that can hold this incredible athlete.
That's why Nike's
the
best.
And Nike gets crapped on.
But that's why Nike's got... Right now, if Nike brought me in, I'm telling you right now, they would, for that ideal right now, they would pay me $1 million. If Nike's
listening...
No,
they won't.
Guarantee you. That right... I'm going to make a
Adidas
phone call.
Well, you just gave it away for free, so now they can lift it. They don't have to pay you a red cent.
Think about how you watch so many movies where whoever it is... Alita. I wouldn't watch it. She got... Her body got destroyed, and then they put the... You want to create... Now Nike has a chance to show, we messed up. This is a great thing. And you make it bigger. You make it better. I'm telling you, Nike is going to be all over this. Nike, hit me up, because I'm telling you right now, people at Nike is going to hear this. Remember where you heard it, and you better give me my money.
From the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, the Zionic shoe.
Thank you.
It's pretty
Zionic.
Good.
That's oh, my really God. Good. I'm telling you, Nike, I'm telling you, I'm going to make a phone call today. I can get paid.
Nike, by the way, down 1.5%, but up to Jim's point, it's 12-month low was at $67. It's at 83.5 right now. So boom. even from boom. Just two months ago or so, it's up. So it is a bit of a blip in the radar. 888-957-9570. What would you do if you were Zion Williams as it pertains to your shoe future? Would you double down with Nike, or would you use this against the other shoe companies? And guys, the other question that has to get asked through all of this is, can Zion Williamson, through this one single act, can he be the one to bring down this preposterous one-and-done system in college basketball?
I think that he won't. I think it's still going to stay around. And I'm telling you right now, I really believe that the one-and-done is, I think it's going to continue. I think it helps these young men's brand. It gives them an opportunity to play for a year and see what college life's
transitional
life.
Year, right?
It's a transitional year.
As a human
year.
Being.
Yeah.
You're going to be 18 years old rolling around with, I don't know how many millions a first-round pick makes, and I know it ranges pretty big, but maybe that extra year gives you a little bit more maturity so that you can handle it.
Zion put on 100 pounds in 2 years. Believe it or not, I really believe this guy is going to make more money with Nike than he's going to make in his whole career in the NBA. That's what Nike just did for him. They're going to fly him and his parents on a private plane and say, come in here and sit down and create a shoe just for him. And here's the thing. You can make the Zion. He's going to have his own shoe, the Zion, Zionic, whatever you want to call it.
The Zionic Man?
The Zionic Man.
That's from 925.
And you have his own shoe now. And not, on top of the money he's getting, now he's going to have, they might even give him some ownership in the Zion shoe brand itself. I'm telling you right now, Nike's in great shape. This kid's going to be in great shape.
Are you getting paid by Nike?
It feels like it.
You said Nike this in the last hour. Let me tell you.
I really believe okay. that Nike's going to hear this.
Set him straight, Jim. I like this.
Set him straight. I actually want to bring it back to the question you asked.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
I'd like to do that.
Instead of trying to shoehorn your own personal endorsement deals,
exactly.
Perhaps you can address the topic as laid out by the A chair. And the question was, James, do you think that he can ultimately, through this act, undo this preposterous rule about one and dones? Because what you say, Lo, is accurate. It can help your brand, and it can be a good stayover for a player who maybe isn't ready from a maturity standpoint to go to the National Basketball Association. My kid I know named Ivan Rabb, who went to Bishop O'Dowd, he went to Cal for a year, and he was going to be a top 15, maybe a top 20 pick, but he personally wasn't ready to go to the NBA, so he went to Cal for a second year, at which point he and his family and his advisors thought he was ready to go, and he went to the NBA. But ultimately, he didn't have a choice coming out of high school because of the preposterous one-and-done rule. So, Jim, as I repurposed the question after Lowe gave me the Heisman on it.
No, I said that.
Jim, can Zion Williamson be the one to undo this preposterous rule?
Well, it's interesting because some NBA people have weighed in on this. Donovan Mitchell plays for the Utah Jazz. He was a mid-first-round pick when he was taken by the Utah Jazz and ended up being arguably the best player in the first year, and he's one of the top players from that draft class. He weighed in last night, and he said, again, let's remember all the money that went into this game, and these players get none of it, and now Zion gets hurt. Something has to change at NCAA. Luka Doncic then weighs in and retweets Donovan Mitchell and says, go play in Europe. You have an out if you're a kid. You don't have to go one and done. Go get paid. Why don't you go to Europe and play? Go to China and play.
That's why, Daniel, I'm surprised. Joe's not here, and I'm still surprised you came down my road that way, and I'm going to have to retort that.
Well, you're implying that I only come down your road as a way to appease and please Joe Fortenbaugh, so that's a misread on your part.
It's my general disdain for most things
you have to say.
No. Some days I can just see the fear in your eyes. But anyway, as I digest, I said the one and done, I like it. And I laid it out, and I talked about it's for their brand. If they can go play in Europe, and you think they're going to be known in Europe, and you think that it's going to have the same type of magnitude that it has playing at Duke, come on. He played at Duke.
Agreed.
Last night was unbelievable. You couldn't get a seat. $2,500 for a ticket, coach.
Obama was there, coach.
Thank you, Obama.
I blame the injury on Obama.
He was the first one to call it.
Thanks, Obama.
Exactly. Obama,
you could see him mouth it. His shoe ripped. Yeah. He was the first one to see it.
First one, he was should have been Jim Nantz.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends. Okay, so when
hello,
you
sock.
See, yeah, exactly.
When's Joe coming back?
No.
Monday, Jim. And you'll be back on weekends. So
I am this weekend.
See, does that feel better? I took a shot at him now.
About time. Thank you.
We're even
thank
up.
You. Yeah, we are.
Up in 5 minutes, I bury Kakarakis. But first, please continue.
And so these guys, they understand what they're doing. They're going to spend a year in college, and these schools are still a huge brand. Duke is a brand. You're looking at
so
what's
you like
going
the one and done.
I like it because it gets them stronger. It gets them bigger. They get to learn fundamentally. The fundamentals of basketball, they usually go to great coaches. And then they get to play against another these athletes in the college and play at a high level, and it helps them. So I like the one and done because they get the stage. We get to see them. And I think it's better for them. Okay, let them go to the G League. Would it be watched? They would lose some of their value. They would lose some of their mystique. They wouldn't be watched. They wouldn't be viewed. It would not help the G League because colleges are a brand. You got to realize people didn't
so
watch.
So players are feeding off the brands of
yes.
colleges, and they should probably give college some of their money in their first win their first round picks.
Go to hell, coach.
Is that what you're saying? Wait a minute. You're saying these schools are helping these guys make millions of dollars.
Both sides use one another, and that's the honest to God truth. Both sides have something.
That, to me, is why players should be allowed to pick and choose what company or corporation they decide to allow to use them. And in this case, if you are Zion Williamson last year and you're coming out of high school, you don't have the opportunity to go in the draft and allow a pro team to use you and pay you appropriately for your skills. You have to take your skills and go to college, or you can go to Europe. Jim, you're right. You can go to Asia and play, but it's not going to help your brand. It's not going to help your exposure, and it's only going to expose you to potential risk and injury. 888-957-9570. Let's get the people in here real quick, Jim. It's about the people. I see where you're pointing, and I'll get there. But first, we're going to Fremont.
Trying to help you.
Will in Fremont, I'm reluctant to go to you because you happen to agree with Lowe. Go ahead.
I can't agree with Lowe anymore, dude. It's simple.
Neither can I. I can't agree with him anymore either.
Let Fremont speak, James.
Nike's going to break the bank.
Thank you. You're with me, right?
Economy of words. Joe Buck joins us from Fremont. Do you have any more for us, Will, or is it just that Nike's going to break the bank for him?
Well, that, and then I wanted to tell Coase that I never went to college. I did 10 years in the Army. As a matter of fact, I went to you guys for the A's playoff game last year. I talked to you guys specifically. I talked to you, Dib, but...
Thank you for your service.
College, like I said, and now I work for NASA, so I think I'm doing pretty good.
Attaboy, thank you. Thank you for your service.
Doing great. Appreciate that, and thank you for the call, Will in Fremont. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. It is Joe Lowe and Dibs. Coase, Jim Cosmore is in for Joe Fortenbaugh. He'll be back on Monday. Coming up at 8:30, Sam Amick joins us. Anthony Slater, the great Warriors reporter of The Athletic, joins us at 9:10. Bobby Jackson will come on at 9:30. Jim, I interrupted you before. I've been regretting it ever since 7:59. Please continue.
I forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about the one and dones and your thoughts.
You think that going to Europe, you don't think that Europe is a market? You don't think you can build a brand in Europe?
You can,
but... That's a big deal.
I think if you look at...
NBA wants that market.
If you're a player... who can go straight out of high school to the NBA, that's going to do a lot more for your brand than going to Europe is. Going to college would probably help your brand second most, but you can't get paid.
Here's what I know what I was going to say, because we're talking about the Zion Williamsons and whether or not they can go or they should leave high school and go right to the pros, and we would even have to be talking about this thing. How many guys have left after first, second, or third year saying that they're going to be ready for the draft and aren't drafted, and don't make it to the association, and don't end up playing pro ball, and don't end up getting set up for life? How many? Do you think we have more guys who are leaving school and becoming independently wealthy, generational wealth, or more guys who actually lost out on their college education and didn't quite make it into the pros? I'd like to see the research on that. Anecdotally, I think there are a lot more guys who didn't do well. If you're a late first-round pick, if you're a second-round pick, and maybe you made a couple of million dollars, sounds good. But when you're 20 years old and you have a couple of million dollars, you got a long life ahead of you.
I think it's hit and miss. And I'll just run down some of these names, and you guys jump in when you have comments, because the NBA one-and-done rule, as we know it, was instituted after the 2005 draft. In that draft, you had a total of 9 players come straight out of high school and make themselves eligible for the NBA.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.